It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Ramble Podcast, hosted by Dave DeBaugh and presented by Rippin.com. As always, the Ramble Podcast is coming to you live from the Super Plus Rippin.com broadcast studios in the heart of Silicon Valley. Now, to the host that can't stop rambling, Dave DeBaugh.
To the Ramble we go. I am Dave DeBaugh, and I want to talk sports with you, North America. Coming up on the Ramble today, we go deep inside your National Football League as we take a brief look back at week number three of the NFL and make my highly Dave DeBaugh on the Ramble highly anticipated week number four predictions of your National Football League season. Plus, ESPN goes the opposite way this week. Last week, they did the unthinkable and they brought back the greatest highlight show of all time in NFL prime time. This week, they went the opposite direction and came out with one of the worst top 10 lists for power rankings in the National Basketball Association I've ever seen. I cannot wait to tell you what some schmuck reporter at ESPN actually listed as the number one player in the National Basketball Association. We also have a Spider-Man sighting, which involves both Sony Pictures and Marvel. We'll cover that for you in a little bit. And finally, my Minnesota Twins have actually won a division title. All of that, and trust me, a whole lot more coming up on the Ramble today. But we begin today's show with your National Football League, North America. And we're going to start by just taking a quick look back at week number three of this young National Football League season. Now, I don't do a lot of bragging on this show, but we ran at 75% last week in predictions. That is how good we did last week in predictions. And I always like to throw out week one of the National Football League. And it seems that between week three and week eight are the weeks that if you were betting, you could actually make a lot of money in the NFL. That being said, we had a fantastic week of predictions last week. And if you look around the NFL and you look at the games from last week, like how much of these games actually surprised you? I don't know. Were you surprised that the Bills beat the Bengals? Hey, how shocked were you that the Cowboys only scored 31 points and only gave up 6 points against the Dolphins? Maybe you're shocked that they allowed any points at all to the Dolphins in the first place. What about the Broncos losing to the Packers in Green Bay? Was that a surprise to anybody out there? What about the Colts silencing Matt Ryan and the Falcons 27-24? What about the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens game? And this actually turned out to be a fantastic game. I have to say this. I know that Patrick Mahomes is awesome. I mean, he just is an amazing football player to watch. I mean, like, if ever you wanted to show a kid how to play like quarterback in the National Football League, just sit him down in front of a television and tell him to watch a Kansas City Chiefs game. Because Patrick Mahomes has all the tools that a quarterback needs to be successful in the National Football League. But something just tells me, and even though earlier in the year I picked the Kansas City Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl this year, that's right, I picked the Kansas City Chiefs, not Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Now, of course, I made that prediction before I realized that the New England Patriot defense, this actually might be the Patriots' best defense in 10 years. That is how scary good the New England Patriots are. I mean, just think about this for a second. Do any of you believe, just for a second, that Andy Reid in an AFC championship game going up against Bill Belichick, and I don't give a damn where the game's actually at, is actually going to beat Bill Belichick? I'm just saying. Anyways, elsewhere around the National Football League, my Vikes beat the Raiders. The Patriots, we just talked about, took care of the Jets. The Lions, the improving Lions under Matt Patricia. beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. Look, that was one of the games we got wrong. And I was really on the fence when making the predictions last week about that game for a wide variety of reasons. That being said, that game went to the Lions and Matthew Stafford. Another game that I was wrong in, which is going to lead me to say the following. The game that I was wrong in was the Panthers and the Cardinals. And I made a decision after I picked Cliff and Kyler to actually win their first National Football League game together. And I've made a decision, and that decision is simple. I will not be picking the Cardinals to win a single game until they actually win a single game. Hey, by the way, I got the Daniel Jones thing right. 32-31. Now, let's talk about Daniel Jones and the New York Football Giants just for a second. Now, if you've been following the Ramble at all and you followed us back 6 months to the National Football League draft, in the interest of full disclosure, you'll remember that I said that I thought that was a horrific pick by the New York Giants. And then I had a chance to watch this kid practice. I had a chance to watch him in OTAs. I had a chance to watch him during spring training. and I had a chance to watch him in preseason. That being said, I had not seen a quarterback do what he did in preseason since Dak Prescott did it. And I think it says a lot about a rookie quarterback that comes into the National Football League and that can instantly take over a team, even in the preseason. And I think that's why the New York Football Giants made the move as soon as they made it. So do I believe Daniel Jones is going to be a great quarterback in the National Football League? Look, the jury's way, way, way still out on that one. Do I think he could be a good quarterback in the National Football League? Yes. Do I think he's better than Eli Manning today? Well, he can actually run for a touchdown. That's something that I don't think Eli's done since Pop Warner football. The advantages to having Daniel Jones in a game versus Eli Manning at this stage are many. You can do a lot more with the offense. You can even roll him out. And another thing that Daniel Jones does that a lot of really top-tier National Football League quarterbacks do, and you might call them more like second tier, you know, like Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, you know, those big quarterbacks that just sort of basically hang out in the pocket but seem to always be able to deliver strikes. And the reason they're always able to deliver strikes, and you should watch this, it's a sidestep. Sidestep left, sidestep right. They're very good at sidestepping and avoiding the pressure. Daniel Jones, if you just go back and you watch the game against the less than scary Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense, you'll see that he's got a lot of those sidestepping abilities that some of those other great quarterbacks have. He also keeps his eyes downfield and is not somebody that just gets locked in on a single play. So what do you think we're going to learn in week 3 when the Giants are at home against the horrific Washington Redskins? I mean, the only thing that was surprising in Washington this week was that their head coach is still their head coach. Anyways, I just have to say this, that regardless of how well Daniel Jones looks this week, we're going to need a couple more weeks before we're able to actually legitimately say we think Daniel Jones is really going to be a solid New York Giant football quarterback. Now, I certainly think everything's pointing in the right direction, but we're going to need the New York Giants and Daniel Jones to play somebody other than Tampa and Washington before we come to a conclusion on him. The Texans and Chargers. And the Chargers ended up losing this game, but help is on the way as Melvin Gordon has ended his holdout. And, you know, you always wonder how these things are going to end. And like I said, the Spanuses would not budge at all and did not budge in any way and actually forced the player to come back to his team without a new contract. That is something that the Dallas Cowboys weren't going to do. Look, when you're negotiating with somebody, you need to know who you're negotiating with. For any of the 53 players that are on the San Diego, Los Angeles Charger roster, I can tell you right now, short of Philip Rivers, there is no other player on the team that would be able to successfully hold out against the Spanos family. That is not how they work. Look, Melvin, if you want to make more money, you're going to have to ride out your contract and go someplace else ultimately. Anyways, the Saints surprised me a little bit with Teddy Bridgewater, which shouldn't have surprised me, and beat Seattle in Seattle. Which brings me back to what I always say about the Seattle Seahawks. It's just their 9-7 team. And sometimes they get lucky and they go to 10-6. And that is who the Seahawks are. Which means occasionally they're going to lose a game at home that they should have won. 33-27 was the final there. A couple other games, we covered the Redskins already being horrific. The Bears went in on Monday night and beat them. The Rams took down Baker Mayfield, and you guys have all heard me talk about Baker extensively a lot over the last 4 or 5 months. I did a rant last week about his commercials and how he shouldn't be allowed on my TV until he actually wins a playoff game, or at least makes it into a playoff game before Madison Avenue comes calling and starts offering Baker 8 commercials a game. It's wrong, North America. But finally, the last game I wanted to talk about in the National Football League was right here in my backyard. And that was the San Francisco 49ers. Now, if you're new to the show, I've been in the Silicon Valley now for almost 20 years. I've been to a ton of 49er games in that time. I am not a 49er fan. I'm not necessarily a 49er hater, but I am not walking around the Silicon Valley with San Francisco 49er gear on. It is not happening. That does not mean I can't be objective. Look, the 49ers are 3-0. They beat the Steelers, who are now 0-3, 24-20. Look, I think if Ben Roethlisberger had been there and had been healthy, the 49ers would actually be 2-1. But that's not the case. You still have to win the game with who you have. So, am I going to do another rant about how bad I really think Jimmy Garoppolo is? And I'm going to just step back for a second and not do that this week. I'm going to be nice to my 49er fans. I'm going to be nice to them. I'm going to let them enjoy this. I mean, the best part about the 49ers being 3-0 for them is that they get to be 3-0 for 2 weeks because they have a bye this week, which means I have to suffer through 2 weeks of people calling the local sports radio stations talking about the Super Bowl. Look, they might not be talking about the Super Bowl, but trust me, they're talking about the Super Bowl. It's just ridiculous, North America. Anyways, we'll come back to the National Football League for week number four predictions. Highly, highly coveted predictions. I mean, when you go 75% in the correct column, then obviously they're going to be highly anticipated and sought after National Football League predictions. So a couple other stories we wanted to cover before we dive back into your National Football League. First thing I wanted to cover is my Minnesota Twins. Now, we don't cover a ton of baseball on this show. And the reason we don't cover a ton of baseball on this show, it is horrifically long. It is 161 games. Look, I paid for the Major League Baseball package, whatever they call it. I paid for it. I paid for it for years. And I've suffered with my Minnesota Twins for years. It's been like maybe 10 years since we've won a division title. It has been a couple years. It's only been 2 years since we've been in the playoffs. It's not that we've been horrific for the whole 10 years. It's just that baseball is such a long season. And back when the game was invented, you know, when the world was black and white, before color was invented, baseball was the only sport in town. And it was the only thing, and I understand why it was popular. I do, and I understand why it still has a following today, and I certainly think it will have a following 100 years from now. That being said, my Minnesota Twins did something that I thought was absolutely fantastic. And I was so excited because we had a team record this year of over 300 home runs. Now, I want to put that in perspective for a second. In 2018, in the year 2018, the modern day version of the Bronx Bombers, who we probably couldn't even name five of the players on the 2018 New York Yankee team. Well, I'm sure you could. 267 home runs. The previous record was 264 home runs by the Seattle Mariners. the Seattle Mariners with 264 home runs in 1997. Now, if you remember where they were playing in 1997, then you might have some sort of understanding about how they had 264 home runs. So I'm super excited. I've been following my, what are we calling them in Minnesota? We're calling them the Bomb Squad, something to that effect. And the Twins are currently sitting at 303 home runs, followed by, and they're following the New York Yankees right now, who have 305 home runs. Now the Twins are going to play the Yankees in the first round of the playoffs this year in Major League Baseball. And if there was any chance that my Minnesota Twins are going to beat the Yankees, it's going to be because they're going to hit more home runs than the Yankees are going to hit. And statistically, when you look at it, it's a dead heat. Because when we compare the pitching staffs, there's not a chance in hell that my Minnesota Twins should win. So the only way that they're actually going to win is by hitting the long ball. And that's it. I mean, you can take all of the other analysis out of this. It is actually pretty simple. On paper, the Yankees have a better pitching staff and will probably be better than the Twins are with pitching. So the only way that the Twins are actually going to win is if they hit a lot of home runs during the first round of the series. Anyways, congrats to my Minnesota Twins on their first victory. It's a rookie manager this year. And I got to tell you, like statistically, like this 300 number And I know everybody out there is going, wow, I mean, that's a huge jump from 264 home runs to 303 home runs for a record. That's a huge jump. And so the ball must be juiced. Hey, I'll tell you what. And like I said, we don't cover a lot of baseball here, but I do know a lot about baseball. And I will tell you this. This is not a juiced ball issue. Now, maybe there's a little juice in the ball. Let's be honest. But this is not a juice ball issue. This is a game is changing issue. Now, if you go back and you used to watch Major League Baseball, and let's say you were watching Major League Baseball even 6 years ago, and then you went into a time machine, and you just sat there for 5 or 6 years, and you came out of the time machine, and then you went and you sat down at Yankee Stadium and you watched a baseball game, and you'd be like, why are they pulling the pitcher out after 5 innings? He's only given up 2 runs. Why is the pitcher being pulled after just 5 innings? And not only are they pulling the pitcher out after just 5 innings, they're bringing in a mediocre mid-level replacement. And that is why, my friends, there are more home runs in baseball, because the pitching has changed. We've gotten away from expecting pitchers to go all the way through a game, and we've shortened it, and we've gone with pitcher tandems, if you will. Pitcher trios, pitcher quadruplets. Like, there's basically no limit on how many pitchers you can pitch in a game at this point. The bullpens are being used to their fullest extent, North America, and that is why we have more home runs in baseball. It's pretty simple. All right, before we dive back into the National Football League, I do need to talk about ESPN. Now, last week, ESPN did a great thing. They brought back NFL Prime Time, which is the greatest highlight sports show in the history of highlight sports shows. It just is. It was better than Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann doing SportsCenter. Just trust me, if you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. That being said, they went the opposite direction this week, and they came out with their top 10 National Basketball Association power rankings for the upcoming 19/20 season. And it is ridiculous. Somebody must have been smoking crack over there. I'm just saying, there's somebody on drugs. I don't know if it was the writer or the editor, or the writers or the editors who allowed this crap to hit the airwaves, because they picked the Greek Freak as the best basketball player on the planet. Now, I don't know. Have you seen Giannis make a 3-point shot before? Have you seen Giannis hit 2 15-foot shots in a row? Have you seen it? And I think the answer is absolutely not. So they went with the Greek Freak, Kawhi, LeBron. Then for some strange, bizarre reason, they went James Harden, followed by Anthony Davis, who, I must say, does he even belong in the top 10? Does Anthony Davis, after he quit on his team in New Orleans, deserve to be in anybody's top 10, let alone in the top 5? Let me ask you this. Doesn't Anthony Davis actually have something to prove this year? Like, I don't know which Anthony Davis the Los Angeles Lakers are going to get. I can tell you this, he doesn't belong in my top 5, which is ridiculous because Steph Curry is number 6. Now, let me ask you this. Klay Thompson goes down. Kevin Durant goes down. Andre Iguodala looks like he's retired during Game 7 of the NBA championship this past year. I mean, during the NBA championship. Did Steph Curry ever give up? No. Did Steph Curry ever give up after KD went out? No. Did Steph Curry give up after Klay Thompson went down? No. Lots of injuries throughout the year with the Golden State Warriors. Was there any quit in Steph Curry? And the answer is absolutely not. Does Steph Curry, for some strange, bizarre reason, by the East Coast media get just slanted away time after time. I'm making up new phrases. Slanted away means disrespected. Does he get disrespected and continue to get disrespected by the East Coast biased media? And the answer is absolutely yes. Because how could you take a player like Steph Curry, who means so much to his team and means so much to the league? And when was the last time? Like, go to a kid's basketball game and watch how the game has changed. I know this. The kids, not just here in the Bay Area, but throughout the entire United States and throughout all of North America, know better. They know that Steph Curry is probably a top three player in the National Basketball Association. Number seven is the Joker. Number eight is Joel Embiid. I think there should be some sort of limit on how many games somebody has to play in order to be in this list. Number eight, Damian Lillard. And rounding out your top 10 of National Basketball Association's 19/20 power rankings is PG-13. All right, now back to Giannis, because just for a second, let's just take a quick step back. Now, I will say this, the best basketball player in the world is clearly, without a doubt, Kawhi Leonard at this point. Did he not prove that against Milwaukee last year? I'm just saying, who won that series? Like, who wrote this article? Was that person also on a desert island during the NBA playoffs last year? Did they not see what Kawhi did to Giannis last year in the playoffs? I mean, how could you in any way think that the Greek freak is a better basketball player than Kawhi Leonard? Okay, so I'm going to give you my top five. It goes like this. It's Kawhi Leonard. I'm reluctantly going to say LeBron James at number two. And I'm going with LeBron James at number two because I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass on last year. And I hope that we see the LeBron we saw a few years ago show up back with the Lakers this year. Now, if we get the sluggish, I look like I'm retired already LeBron James, which is a distinct possibility. If we get that LeBron James, then I'm going to tell you right now, that LeBron James that we saw last year would barely be in this top 10. So putting him at number two is putting him at number two on past history. Plus, I mean, let's face it, he's been the greatest basketball player for a long time. So let's give him a little bit of love. So we'll keep him at number two. So number three is either Steph Curry or James Harden. And I would lean towards Steph Curry simply because of the rings. How many rings does James Harden have today? So I'm going to go with Steph Curry at three, Harden at four, and number five. I don't know. Maybe I'd put Giannis there. Maybe I wouldn't. But I will tell you this. I certainly wouldn't have Anthony Davis even in my top 10 because he doesn't deserve it. Players that quit on their team don't deserve to be in top 10 rankings. I'm just saying, North America, it is flat out wrong. All right, before we get into the National Football League, one quick story about the spider universe. Look, one of my daughters would tell you, she goes, yeah, you should talk about Spider-Man. Because of Tom Holland. Tom Holland this, Tom Holland that. Did you see Tom Holland here? Did you see Tom Holland there? When the latest Spider-Man movie just came out on DVD Blu-ray and on digital, I plugged in my Amazon Fire Stick. Still not getting paid by Amazon to say that. I plugged in my Amazon Fire Stick, went to Amazon Prime Video, and I purchased the movie for her. I actually watched it earlier in the week, and I have to say, it might be my favorite Spider-Man movie of all time. It was that good. Tom Holland this, Tom Holland that. I get it. Way better than Tobey Maguire. Like, there were times when I was watching those Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, and I kept thinking, will the Spider-Man universe actually survive Tobey Maguire? I know there are a lot of you out there wondering the same thing. So Tom Holland does a great job. Anyways, there was a little bit of controversy between Spider-Man, between the Marvel Universe and, of course, Sony Pictures. Now, for those of you that don't know, Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios both basically share rights to Spider-Man movies. And there had been some controversy and there was a renegotiation going on, you know, who was going to get to publish a Spider-Man movie next year and who's going to get to make one the next year, blah, 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 blah. Well, that has finally been solved and they've come to some sort of financial agreement so that they'll keep doing what they're doing. Some of the Spider-Man movies will be produced by Sony and some will be produced by the Marvel Studios. But regardless of who's producing them, they'll certainly be able to continue to live in Thanos' world of Marvel and the Marvel Universe. And I know there were a lot of people out there who couldn't wait to hear about that story. All right, so moving on to the highly, and I do mean highly coveted, National Football League week number 4 picks for you, North America, and here they come. Now, as you know, we always start by talking about the Thursday night game because it's we do these podcasts on Fridays and the Thursday night game has already happened. And I have to say this, I had picked the Packers, which means I'm already down a game heading into the rest of the predictions we're going to make. Like after the Eagles lost to Detroit at home. That's right. After they lost to Detroit at home. Now, look, this is a different Detroit Lions team. I've been saying it all year. So I'm not going to rip on them too hard for that. But after the MASH unit was released from a local hospital in Philadelphia and they started to get back some of their players, I still didn't think they were going to get enough of them back to go into Green Bay, the land of Aaron Rodgers. and beat Aaron Rodgers on the frozen yet to be frozen tundra of Green Bay in a beautiful evening of football. And the Eagles and Carson Wentz, and look, I know Carson Wentz isn't going to make it through the season. I'm not wishing injury on him. I'm not. But like, God, that guy's just tough. I mean, he is just, he's tough. He came out of the game. If you have a chance, go back and watch the first series of this game. Like, he was so pumped up that that if they had any free safeties, they would have had pick sixes easily. Because he kept overthrowing people. It wasn't just like he was overthrowing them by 10 yards. He was just so hyped for this game. You could see it. And as the game went on and went back and forth, it was clear to me that this Eagles team was not going to lay down, and they didn't, and they ended up beating the Packers. And I have to say this, you know, Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good for most of the game, but what the hell was that in the red zone? In the red zone 7 times. In fact, I think he was 5 yards and in 6 times. and They scored 3 times. I mean, when you're that close and you're Aaron Rodgers, I expect you to score 6 out of 7 times. And that was honestly the difference in the game. They could not figure out how to punch it in. And not only that, Aaron made a lot of first decisions inside the red zone when he should have waited for the second options to come open, which is something we don't see Aaron Rodgers normally do. Okay, so moving on to the rest of the National Football League and the highly coveted predictions for you, North America. Falcons at home against the Titans. Not calling them ice. I would take Matt, though. it's a question of which quarterback I believe in less. And in this particular case, that's Marcus Mariota taking the Falcons at home. I've already told you that the Giants are going to win. The big question is, will Jay Gruden get fired at halftime because he doesn't put in Haskins. Dolphins at home against the Chargers. Like, does it matter where the Dolphins play? You should see my death pool this week. Like half of the people in that pool are picking the Chargers. I think that the Chargers are not as good as we thought they were at the start of the season. Injuries, Melvin Gordon being out. I know Melvin Gordon's back, but let's just face it, I doubt he's really in football shape yet. Now, rumors and reports out of San Diego, Los Angeles, are that Melvin Gordon is actually in good shape. He's just not in football shape. So if the Dolphins are going to win and surprise a bunch of people and help me out with a death pool, this is the week they do it. I'm picking the upset. I'm picking the Dolphins to win. I have no real reason behind it other than gut. Colts will beat the Raiders. Texans will beat the Panthers, but it will be close. Lions at home against the Chiefs. And this is more difficult to pick than you think. And the reason this is more difficult to pick than you think is because Matt Patricia has figured something out in Detroit, which is something a lot of the other disciples of Bill Belichick haven't been able to pull off in their first or second year of being a head coach. Matt Patricia has figured something out in Detroit. This is not going to be an easy victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. I was going to pick the upset here with the Lions, but I heard recently that Matthew Stafford has a hip injury. Now, he's expected to play, but that's enough for me to take the Kansas City Chiefs in this game. It's the Browns versus the Browns. Browns at the Ravens in Baltimore, and this is an easy pick for me. I am going with Lamar Jackson to beat Baker Mayfield and the Browns. How great is this? I'm just saying, all of the hype about the Browns heading into this season, I cannot wait to watch that game. I'm going to watch every freaking second of that game, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it as the Baltimore Ravens beat down the Browns. Patriots at Bills. Bills defense way better than it has been in years. I certainly would love to believe in Josh Allen, but I don't. Patriots are going to win, but there is always that sinking feel. I mean, Buffalo always plays the Patriots tough. I mean, they're through the years. This is that game that the Bills can occasionally win, but this Patriot defense, which has not given up a touchdown, I think, since the AFC Championship game, is how crazy it. Like, seriously, I know you all hate the Patriots, but I mean, you got to give them some credit, don't you? I mean, they haven't allowed a touchdown since the AFC Championship game, and we're heading into the fourth game of this new season. I'm just saying. Anyways, Rams at home against Buccaneers. Buccaneers are going to play them a little better. This game's going to be a little closer than you might imagine. Something wrong with Jared Goff. He's not making the always making the right decisions. Now, no quarterback in the National Football League is always going to make the right decisions. That's why there's these things called interceptions, fumbles, and sacks. So nobody gets it right all of the time. It just seems as if Jared Goff was missing a couple key plays at times during the Rams games that I've seen so far this season. That being said, Rams with the win. Cardinals, I will not be picking them. As I stated earlier, there's not a chance in hell I'm picking Cliff Kingsbury to win a game until he actually wins one. I gave him a chance last week against the Carolina Panthers at home. He was at home against Carolina, and they didn't have Cam Newton, and their defense fell asleep. they don't even know. They still don't even know who the starting quarterback was in Carolina that came in and destroyed him. That's how bad that defense played. Look, you know, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, they're going to beat down the Cardinals. They're just going to beat them down. Cardinals are going to lose. Vikings at Bears. This is a heart pick. So I'm going to take the Vikings just on pure love. And I oftentimes do this with the Vikes. Honestly, I'm not sure which Bears team shows up. If it's the Bears teams from the first couple weeks, not the one we saw on Monday Night Football, but I will go with the Vikings nonetheless, North America. But that defense scares the hell out of me, I'm saying. That Chicago Bears defense looked really, really good last week. I mean, did you see them on Monday Night Football? I mean, they are scary. They are scary good in Chicago, and Soldier Field is going to be rocking. I'm going with the Vikes nonetheless. Jaguars at Broncos. I'm going to pick the upset here. I'm going to pick the Jaguars. The Broncos are a mess. They might as well, you know, end the Flacco experience. The Joe Flacco experience is officially over in Denver. Look, at least give him another week or two before you head into the let's bring in the rookie quarterback and see what he can do stage of the season. But we're getting very close to that, John Elway. I mean, by the way, John Elway's got a new commercial on TV. And no, it's not for teeth. But, you know, he's bad hands. So he's got a bad hand commercial on TV. And apparently they show this picture of a finger that's like indented all the way. It's almost like you know, permanently giving the peace sign with all the other fingers indented. So they show dented fingers, and I'm assuming they were showing John Elway's. And he talks about how he was going to get surgery but decided not to and found some treatment instead, blah 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 blah. By far one of the scariest commercials, and they also do a close-up of John Elway, which they shouldn't have done. Anyways, yeah, Jaguars are going to win that game. Cowboys at Saints, I have no idea. Sean Payton's such a good coach. Love what the Cowboys have been doing on both sides of the ball. This is going to be just a really fun Sunday night football game to watch. I mean, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, anybody out there that can really predict this victory one way or the other, it just doesn't matter. I'm just going to go with the home team in this because I believe in the home team. The Saints are going to win. And for the game nobody cares about, look, I have to say this. When they get around to renegotiating all of these contracts, all of these big contracts, you know, Monday Night Football. So for those of you kids that are out there, you millennials that don't remember this, there was no Sunday Night Football, and it used to be Monday Night Football on ABC, and it was the greatest thing on Monday night. You'd get through all of the NFL games on Sunday. There was no Sunday Night Football, and then there was Monday Night Football. Well, then the NFL made this strategic decision to turn Monday Night Football into Sunday Night Football because they thought they could get better ratings on Sunday night than they were getting on Monday night. And that proved to be correct. So then they said, but let's keep the Monday night game. Let's just move it off of network television, and then we'll put it on ESPN. And ESPN, you know, which was just happy to keep some National Football League games, took the deal. The problem with these nationally televised games, the Thursday night games, I understand you can't change. But the Monday night games and the Sunday night games should both be flex games, because I have no desire to watch Andy Dalton go head-to-head with Mike Tomlin's 0-3 Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football, and none of you want to watch it either. So we'll leave you with that note, North America. Okay, So thank you, North America, for tuning into the big ramble. But I just wanted to just mention this one more time. 264 home runs in 1997. That was the record for the most home runs by a team in Major League Baseball until last year, when the Yankees blew that 264 number away and ended up with 267, which has led to this year's Dodgers at 274, Astros at 281, my Minnesota Twins at 303, and the modern-day version of the Bronx Bombers at 305. But remember this, North America, this has nothing to do with juice baseballs. This has to do with pitcher rotations and starters being pulled out for less than good, mediocre mid-level relievers in Major League Baseball. All right, North America, thank you so much for tuning in. I know, way too much baseball for most of you out there. I know that's what you're out there thinking about right now. Anyways, we'll cover a little bit of baseball next week, but mostly primarily talk about your National Football League. And one last note, can you believe that the NBA PR machine did it again this week? working in collusion with ESPN to put out that absolute horrific top 10 list where the Greek Freak is number one instead of Kawhi Leonard, despite the fact that Kawhi Leonard flat out destroyed him and the Milwaukee Bucks last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, what could Kawhi do to be the number? What does Kawhi need to be? What does Kawhi actually need to do to actually earn that number one ranking from those ESPN reporters, North America? Anyways, for the ramble, I am Dave DeBaugh, reminding you that you can't win a championship if you play for the Carolina Panthers. And good luck, North America, because in this era of Donald Trump being your president, trust me, you're going to need all the help that you can get.
Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the Capital One Quicksilver card, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. It's easy. That's just the way I like it.
Oh, that's the way, I like it, That's the way, I like it,
Woo! The Quicksilver card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
That's the way,
Capital One Bank, USANA.